Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gate.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we've been on Blog Talk Radio for going on, wow, we're going to be going on 12 years in August. It's hard to believe. I can't believe it, but it's true. And hopefully we'll be here until Jesus comes or the Lord gets us out of here, one or the other. But we're surpassed over 800,000 listens in the lifetime of our broadcast, which I think is tremendous, really. And we didn't have to beg. We didn't have to borrow. We didn't have to steal. We just trusted God all the way. And we're so grateful that he's given us this opportunity to preach the gospel. What better thing to do in life been to help people to see the light and to accept Jesus as their Savior and to stay away from the pimp preachers. Amen. I'm just amazed as I watch these television preachers and some of the preachers over the internet, and I would say probably 90% are heretics nowadays. And all they do is scam people for money. And then they claim that God's blessed me with this ministry and he's given me success. And they're so puffed up with pride, but God didn't give them that success. They got it by scamming people. And anyway, stay away from those preachers. If somebody's out there and they're promising you the world if you send an offering, it doesn't work that way, and it's a lie. And if your pastor or your favorite minister can live by faith, then really what can you learn from that person? Because number one is you have to have integrity in ministry, and that means everything. And if a ministry doesn't have integrity, when they lie to you about God and they lie to you about how to get God to do things for you, and they always have to put a dollar amount on whether or not God's going to do something for you, you need to stay away from those people. Reject them. The scripture says in Titus, a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. And many of these people have been admonished so much, but yet they still have followings. And I was looking at Paula White the other day, and she was saying that there was a lady in her church that she sowed $10,000 so that she could have a baby. So I guess Paula White's in the baby selling business now, because she claims that this woman got pregnant with twins, no less, because she sowed a $10,000 seed. Well, that's a lie, and that's a scam. How stupid can you get? Anyway, the lady was screaming and crying over there in the background, clapping and applauding when Paula was saying this. I'm saying it's pathetic. It is pathetic. But anyway, it's got to stop. And we're hoping that through the years to come, that God will raise up many more voices. Somebody has to take a stand. I mean, we have to take a stand against this kind of false Christianity that's so pervasive. And I saw the other day where I think it's Michael Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, which I do not endorse his ministry, but anyway, they're saying that they have to have some kind of a check and balance on these prophets, that they were so disturbed that they prophesied falsely over Trump winning the presidency. So now they want to be more careful about these people, and they want to check up on these people. And I'm wondering why Dr. Brown himself doesn't care about checking up on the heretics, and why some of these people that have these bigger platforms, why they don't take a stand for righteousness. I don't know, because if more people would take a stand, we can see more of these people go out of business, and people will stop supporting these people and stop sowing their seeds and giving their tithe money to these crooks. And that's what they are. They're a bunch of crooks. So that's my, I may even do an open letter to Michael Brown, as to Michael, why don't you care about people that sell blessings, and why don't you care about the miracle sellers, and why don't you speak out against them? Because if he does, then he's going to lose his platform on Charisma, probably, and he'll lose a lot of his invitations. So there's people, these people out there, they try to take a stand on some things, but yet they won't really take a stand for Jesus because they're afraid it's going to hurt them in their pocketbook. Well, it might. It might hurt your bank account at first, because you might have to learn how to live by faith and quit your begging and quit your scheming and learn how to trust God, because we have to trust God. We have to learn how to trust God, especially in the days we're living in. We're living in the craziest days I've ever seen in my life as far as being a Christian and seeing the things that are going on. You can't believe it. You can't believe it. So let's try and do the right thing. Let's try to reject people that don't tell the truth, and to warn other people, because the Bible says that we have to warn people about wolves. And Jesus said that there'll be wolves that'll come in. And they certainly have come in, and they're devouring the sheep. And people aren't really reading their Bibles, and they don't really know what the Bible says, because eventually, even if you have fallen for some of these scams, and we all have, if you know the Word of God and you're in the Word of God for yourself, you're going to wake up one day and say, well, these things aren't true, and we have to stop believing those things and stop listening to those people that are preaching another gospel and preaching another Jesus. So today we're going to talk about now I can't believe it. I can't believe that any Christian would talk about astrology as far as talking about the signs of the zodiac pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's crazy. It's crazy, but it put me in remembrance of this scripture, Acts 26:24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And when I was looking up some of these things today, and I was looking at these, there was a book, and you can actually read it if you like to do research and you want to do more research on this topic. But there's a book that was written, I think sometime maybe in the late 1700s or the early 1800s, by a woman named Frances Rolleston. And she writes this book on the Mazaroth, and it was her life's work, and I mean, it's quite the book. It's 257 pages, but of course, back in those days, they didn't have TV and internet, and so they could go on and on and on in their writing and in trying to prove things, especially trying to prove this thing with the signs of the zodiac pertaining to the gospel. Oh, but anyway, she does this whole book, and I didn't get a chance to read through it because I actually just found out about her this morning, but it's very, very interesting. This was her life's work, Frances Rolleston, the Mazaroff. And it seems like she's probably one of the first people that got into this whole thing with the constellations and the signs of the zodiac pertaining to Jesus, which to me is insane, really. But then it seems like a man called E.W. Bullinger, then he wrote a book about the gospel in the stars, and he goes on to expound on, I guess, what this lady, Frances Rolleston, wrote. So it kind of seems like then, as the years went by, then of course, Marilyn Hickey picked it up, and she wrote a book about it. And it seems like, to me, it seems like Marilyn probably plagiarized a lot of Frances Rolleston's work in E.W. Bullinger's work. And she goes into, she does a show on Daystar with Joni Lamb. And they're all fascinated by this. And Marilyn brings her drawings and she shows a picture of this half man, half horse figure. And she says, oh dear, she says that that's Jesus. That's Jesus, yeah. I don't think so. And then they have the Osteen daughter there. John and Dodie Osteen's daughter is on this program with Joni Table Talk. And so they have four or five women there, and then they usually have a guest, and then they talk about different topics. So the Osteen girl says, well, Marilyn, how do you get the fact that Jesus, you said that that figure is half horse and half man, and how do you say that that's Jesus? So Marilyn comes up with this goofy answer that, well, Jesus is coming back on a horse. So yeah, he's going to be riding a horse, but he's not coming back as half a horse and half a man. Oh, I couldn't believe it. No, I couldn't believe it. But people get off on these tangents and they can't just stick to the scripture. They have to always go off on these fairy tales, I guess because they want to sell books. So they write these books, and then they, of course, they go on all these television programs to promote their books, and everybody's curious about it. And it really doesn't make any sense at all. But you know, it's just another way to sell books and to deceive people, really. But that's Marilyn Hickey for you. Now, I'm a little bit familiar with Marilyn Hickey. I don't really know her personally. I've just met her once, and I used to go and preach for some of their seminars when I lived in Colorado, and I probably did three or four seminars. I wasn't the lead speaker or anything like that. It was special group that I administered to there at their church, but they did invite me. And at that time, of course, I was in the Word of Faith movement, and I liked Marilyn. But now looking back on it, and of course, the thing with Marilyn Hickey is she could quote scripture. She could memorize whole chapters of scripture. But I think to myself, what good did it do her that she got off on so much heresy and she sold herself out? She didn't have to. She didn't have to because she knew the word. But yet she sold herself out, and you could even see her recently, which she was on Benny Hinn program, and she was collecting $1,000 seed faith offering and $10,000 seed faith offering, and she was saying that God led her to tell people that. Well, God didn't lead her to tell people that. Now, why does a woman that's probably in her maybe 85, or she might even be older than that, and why would a woman want to do that at her age? Just to get the approval of Benny Hinn, and maybe just to get invitations? It's very sad. It's very, very sad. But at that time, her church was called Happy Church. It was a happy church, let me tell you. If you went there, the music was great. And they had a lot of great guest speakers that came in at the time, of course, in the 80s. It was probably 1985, around there, 86. But she had all the great so-called great speakers of the day would come through there. And I didn't live close to there. I lived maybe 4 hours away from Denver. But if I was going to Denver, I would stop there. And I got to know a few of the pastors. So anyway, and there was good people there. There were some good people there. It's just sad that somebody with so much promise could sell themselves out. But Leviticus 26 says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." Wow, I wouldn't want that. No, I wouldn't want that. But anyway, let's start off with Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's listen to that.
The Witness of the Stars, E.W. Bullinger, 1893, Table of
Chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The end of Ecclesiastes, or the preacher.
Yes, amen to that. So you see, that's what it also reminded me of when I was looking at these books by Francis Rolleston and E.W. Bullinger, was they spent so much time studying and then trying to make something out of nothing, really, is to bring the signs of the zodiac in with the gospel and saying that it pointed to Jesus Christ and to salvation. It's just ridiculous because the word of God is what points us to Jesus. We don't need to look at Aries and Leo and Sagittarius. But they definitely spent. And it's like the book of Exodus. And it made them mad, apparently. But anyway, if you wanted to do more research, and it would be a very interesting study, I think, is to, if I have the time, I might even do more studying about this. And to there's also like 5 hours of the, someone actually reads Bollinger's book on YouTube, and it's 5 hours long, his whole book of his take on the zodiac. And then, of course, Marilyn even claims that the way she got interested in this is she went to Israel and she wanted to see these windows. And the windows of Chagall, she said. And then when she went to this place where these stained glass windows were, it depicted the signs of the zodiac. And she had a Jewish tour guide or something. And anyway, they tried to say that the Jews believed in these signs, and even in some of the synagogues, they have the signs of the zodiac on the floors. Oh, dear. Messed up. It's messed up. Very messed up. But let's play. I'm going to play. This is the program where Marilyn Hickey is on with Joni Lamb. So let's listen to her.
Stars have held a story.
Marilyn Hickey reveals the signs in the heavens.
The stars declare the glory of God, not our fortune.
Like you've never seen before.
And this one has to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
What?
That's amazing.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
The conversation starts now.
Since the beginning of time, the stars have served as guides, declaring seasons, navigating sailors, and revealing the mystery of prophecy. But could they hold a deeper message? Could they point to salvation? Today, we're going to find out. Joining me around the table is my dear friend, April Simons. How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's going to be a good show today.
Great show. One of my favorite people.
One of your favorite people. One of your mom's favorite people, for sure. Rebecca Lamb, welcome.
Thank you.
This is going to be good. You always love supernatural things. And
I do.
Yeah.
I was looking at that role, and I was like, ooh, this is going to be interesting.
It's going to be good. Cindy Murdoch, welcome.
Thank you.
Always here at my right side.
Oh,
and then one of our favorite people in all the world, Marilyn Hickey.
Yes. Thank you.
It's always so good to have you here at the table. While the stars have played a key role in the growth of mankind and society, they've also played a darker role, leading to the emergence of the 12 zodiac signs. Steeped in the occult, many people live their lives according to these signs. But as with anything the devil claims as his own, there is a strategy. So what could the enemy be hiding? Take a look.
For thousands of years, astrology has fascinated the minds of many who gaze into the evening skies and seek guidance for their lives. Aquarius, Scorpio, Libra. These signs have become a source of knowledge and identity for some. But is there any biblical significance within the 12 constellations? Marilyn Hickey reveals the mysteries behind the signs in the heavens.
Well, the stars serve many purposes, but can they also hold the knowledge of the miraculous story of redemption? Marilyn is here today to share the fascinating information she learned as she dug deeper to find the truth. I remember when you called me on this topic, and when you first started talking to me about the zodiac, as Christians, we were always like, yeah. Marilyn Hickey, right. But as you begin to expound, I could not believe it. I think those of you watching and listening, you're going to love this as well, because we know that God is not in us going to the newspaper every day and reading about our zodiac sign. That's not what we're talking about.
No, we're not talking about that at all. That's the cover-up of the enemy. And invariably, the devil always wants to twist the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, in the garden, he started with Eve and Adam. And so he tries to twist this truth, too. Mm-hmm. So people pick up the paper every day and say, oh, what's going to happen to me today? And that's not what the zodiac is at all. Actually, zodiac means steps or ladder. And when you begin to see these 12 constellations and you see that every one of them has four figures in it, and every one tells the story of Jesus in progress. So let me tell you how I started on this trip.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah.
How did I start on this?
Oh, dear. It's very sad. In fact, years ago, maybe it might be 10 years ago, might be more, it might be less, but anyway, Marilyn Hickey had a nervous breakdown. Now, she testified to this publicly. It's not something that we had to dig up or anything. She did testify on her own television program that she had a nervous breakdown, and she was sick for months. I don't know if it was 9 months or a year, something like that. But anyway, she did recover. But to me, it was like God was trying to get her attention to save her from herself. But she didn't change. It seems like she got worse, because for her to go on with Benny Hinn, and it seems like when she was telling Benny Hinn that the Lord told her about the $1,000 seed offering and the $10,000 seed offering, that she was looking up at Benny as if to get his approval. And it was so sad, really, to see her behaving in that manner. But I think God, in his mercy, sometimes he can lay people down on a bed of affliction and try to get their attention, to get them to change. And some people do and some people don't. And she didn't. But anyway, her husband passed away, her husband Wally, and now her daughter Sarah and her husband pastor the church. It's not called Happy Church anymore. Can't remember the name. It's some Christian center or something there. Anyway, it's in Denver. I haven't been there for years, but and I don't even know, Orchard Park Christian Center or something like that, but it's still there. I'm not sure if they still meet in the same building. They probably have a bigger building now because Denver has grown so much. But anyway, here's part two.
Well, over 40 years ago, and I wanted to go to the Adassa Hospital to see the Chagall Wendells. They're very, very famous. Chagall is famous. So when I got there, I saw the 12 zodiac only as the 12 tribes. So at first I thought, were the Jews into this kind of thing? and it kind of shook me up. So I said to the guide, are these the signs of the zodiac? You think they are the 12 tribes, but you don't use the zodiac to tell your fortune. Oh, no. He said, those 12 signs are the 12 tribes. So he said, Marilyn, you're interested in this. I'll take you to a synagogue, you know, where the old mosaics are there. And there were those 12 signs again, but they were the 12 tribes. You know, the Jews didn't worship the zodiac and have to tell their fortune, but they felt those 12 signs told really the picture of the 12 tribes.
Because they're 12 constellations. They're
right.
Pictures of stars mm-hmm. that God created.
Exactly.
So you begin to dig deeper.
I went home, and I thought, what is this with the stars? And then I began to study where the scriptures talked about the stars. And, of course, we know the wise men followed a star.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Balaam prophesied a star would rise out of Jacob. And so then we also know that the heavens declare his glory, not our fortune,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
his glory.
Yeah.
So I just got into a study of it a long time ago, and I saw that these constellations by the ancients were used to get the gospel.
Amazing. Let's look at Virgo. I think we can put that up on the screen and talk a little bit more. Okay, so a virgin, the seed of a woman, you said that specific
that
star.
Spica is the seed of the woman.
Okay.
You know, and coma, this has to do with light, but notice the woman holding the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and notice the woman holding the sheaves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please notice this Boötes and Arcturus, we see Boötes is a shepherd. So who is the shepherd? Jesus.
Yes.
Who did the virgin birth Mary give birth to?
Jesus.
A child.
Yes.
Who is Virgo, the virgin? And then I like this, that I see something else here. I see Centaurus, because these are pictures. Now, why would God show this in the skies? Because we remember better in pictures than we do in words.
Mm-hmm.
No gospel has been written when these signs began to be shown, you know, to them. And I'll tell a little bit about that, because actually, when you read the book of Job, and Job is such an interesting book. It's called
mm-hmm.
a wisdom book, one of the
it's
wisdom books.
It's supposed to be the oldest book, right?
And it's supposed to be
mm-hmm.
the oldest book in the Bible.
Yeah.
How did he know about a redeemer? How did he know how to make a blood sacrifice? He gets in trouble, you know, and he always did the blood sacrifice in case his children sinned. And so how did he know about that? And when he's in his trial, you know, and they're arguing with him and they're so hard on him, he talks about a mediator.
Mm.
Then he talks about resurrection. I know I will see my Redeemer on this earth. And so we think, how did you know this? Now, remember, the Pentateuch is not written.
Mm.
But God says he will declare his glory in the heavens.
Mm.
So the ancients had a way of hearing the gospel. So let me just take a few moments about that.
Okay. Let's take a few moments about that. Okay, here's part three, and this is the last part of this Joni show thing.
Look at Libra. You're going to see scales in it. Like you weigh something,
okay.
And even the stars on one side of it, it says this, what is lacking. On the other side, it says the price is paid.
Mm.
So
Oh, wow. We
were weighed in the scales. We were lacking, but when Jesus got into the scales, we were no longer deficient.
This is so cool. So each sign has other like little stars around it that describe the sign?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Gotcha.
And they named them. They named those stars.
Like it made a picture.
And I don't know who named them, so that's very interesting.
That is interesting.
But I look here. Here is a crown.
Mm.
And that's Jesus. This is a lamb. He is the victim. And there is the cross.
Wow.
Now, Joni, these first four signs that we're seeing of the zodiac, they all tell who Jesus is.
Wow. So he was painting a picture in the heavens, God was,
exactly.
of the story of salvation and redemption. So what is the next one? I love hearing about it. So there's,
Virgo,
Libra, now Scorpio.
Okay, now in the book, you know, I give you a little summary, and that's what I'm doing now because we're not
going to get your book for sure.
I need to get two of them because this is good to pass to a person who's doing their horoscope.
Yeah.
And get the truth into them.
Yeah.
Get them to see Jesus. Okay.
There's Hercules
Scorpio,
in this.
Yes. And he is the one. Look at the snakes.
Wow.
He beats the devil.
Yes.
I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions. And look here. Ophiuchus, who is the strong one, notice his heel is
on
Scorpio.
Oh, yeah, right up
and remember the devil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says he would hurt his heel.
Yeah, yes. He'll strike his heel and he'll crush his head. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and then look at the serpent, how he's taking hold of the serpent. But he said he would bruise his head.
Oh, wow.
He'll get him. So what's this telling us? Who Jesus is and what he has done and how he can be
and
so real.
And what he's
going
to do to the enemy.
Yes. What he's already done.
And what he's already done.
What he's already done.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the fourth one, Joni.
Okay.
And this is Sagittarius. And this is the archer. And he is going to come back to the earth and claim his people as his own.
Mm.
So when they saw these signs, they didn't have the Pentateuch, but they knew what the stars were saying because the stars declare the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? It's Jesus.
Yes.
So when we look here, here is the dragon being defeated. And, you know, here is Sagittarius. That's Jesus. And what is he doing?
Ah!
He's shooting the arrow. And then we see the burning fire on... And that basically is an altar, you know, where Satan will hit the fire and burn forever and ever. And here we have the harp, which is the music of victory.
Mm. Yes.
So Jesus has taken care of Satan for us.
Wow.
Jesus has
sent
Satan to the fire. We're not going there.
Mm.
Satan is going there. And then we can worship him. And when they get the book, they'll see the names of some of these big stars.
Oh, hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus is Sagittarius? Yeah, that's a new one. Very sad. Extremely sad. Anyway, the I don't know if maybe some of you remember this book, The Two Babylons. It was a very popular book when I first got saved. People used to talk about it by Hislop, Alexander Hislop, and he goes into the Catholic Church and a lot of their heresies in the book. I can't remember. It was so long ago that I read this book, and I probably should get it again and look at it, but it was a very interesting book, and it says that he, in his book, The Two Babylons, he counters some of the false claims made in the book Mazaroff, but that the Catholic Church, a cardinal in the Catholic Church, John Henry Newman, had to respond to Hislop with his own book, an essay on the development of Christian doctrine. Oh, yeah, sure. Oddly, the highly educated theologian Ethelbert William Bullinger, and that's E.W. Bullinger, believed the information in the Mazaroff and wrote his own book, Witness in the Stars. And that's the book that someone reads on YouTube. And like I said, it's about 5 hours long. But I have a couple of audios that I'll play from Bullinger. And here's one. Let's play these.
The Witness of the Stars, E.W. Bullinger, 1893, Table of Contents, Preface, Introduction, The First Book, The Redeemer, His First Coming, The Sufferings of Christ, Chapter I, The Prophecy of the Promised Seed of the Woman Virgo, The Virgin. A woman bearing a branch in her right hand and an ear of corn in her left. The Promised Seed of the Woman. 1, The Desired. The woman and child, the desired of all nations. 2, centaurus, the centaur with two natures, holding a spear piercing a victim. The despised sin offering. Three Boötes, a man walking bearing a branch called Arcturus, meaning the same. He cometh. Chapter 2 The Redeemer's Atoning Work Libra, the Scales. The price deficient balanced by the price which covers. 1 Crux, the cross endured. 2 Lupus, or Victima, the victim slain. 3 Corona, the crown bestowed. Chapter 3 The Redeemer's Conflict Scorpio, the Scorpion, seeking to wound, but itself trodden underfoot. 1 Serpens, the serpent struggling with the man. 2 Ophiuchus, the man grasping the serpent. The struggle with the enemy. 3 Hercules, the mighty man. A man kneeling on one knee, humbled in the conflict, but holding aloft the tokens of victory, with his foot on the head of the dragon. The mighty vanquisher seeming to sink in the conflict. Chapter 4 The Redeemer's Triumph Sagittarius, the Archer. The two-natured conqueror going forth conquering and to conquer. 1 Lyra, the harp. Praise prepared for the conqueror. 2 Ara, the altar. Consuming fire prepared for his enemies. 3 Draco, the dragon. The old serpent the devil, cast down from heaven. The second book The Redeemed The Result of the Redeemer Sufferings Chapter I Their Blessings Procured Capricornus, the fish goat. The goat of atonement slain for the redeemed. 1 Sagitta, the arrow. The arrow of God sent forth. 2 Aquila, the eagle. The smitten one falling. 3 Delphinus, the dolphin. The dead one rising again. Chapter 2 Their blessings ensured Aquarius, the water bearer. The living waters of blessing poured forth for the redeemed. 1 Piscus Australis, the southern fish. The blessings bestowed. 2 Pegasus, the winged horse. The blessings quickly coming. 3 Cygnus, the swan. The blesser surely returning. Chapter 3 Their blessings in abeyance Pisces, the fishes. The redeemed blessed though bound. 1 The band bound, but binding their great enemy Cetus, the sea monster. 2 Andromeda, the chained woman. The redeemed in their bondage and affliction. 3 Cepheus, the king. Their redeemer coming to rule. Chapter 4 Their blessings consummated and enjoyed Ares, the ram or lamb. The lamb that was slain, prepared for the victory. 1 Cassiopeia, the enthroned woman.
Now, as you can see, we just listened to Marilyn, and she basically repeated everything that Bollinger wrote. So I don't know if she ever gives credit to him, but I think he probably got most of his writings from Rolleston, who wrote her book, The Mazaroff. So, like I said, if anybody has the time to read her book, to read his book, and to do more research, it would really be an interesting study to get out the two Babylons and then to look into these books. And just really, they're heretical. They're heretical, but there's a slew of people out there that repeat these things. And we had D. James Kennedy. We have a man called Troy Brewer, and I'll play some of their audios. And also this pastor from Texas, Jimmy Evans, and he's got some crazy stuff on that too. But like I said, they can't just stick to the simple gospel. They have to get off on all these insane teachings, and they're leading people astray. And even some of it, I see where the Book of Enoch is mentioned in Rolleston's work. And I'll have to read that and see what she has to say about that. But of course, we don't put any credence into the Book of Enoch. We're not supposed to accept it. Except if you're looking at it for history, but as far as accepting any of the teachings in the Book of Enoch, we're not supposed to accept the teachings in that book because it's extra biblical. It's not a book that's contained in scripture. And it does contain some wild things about angels in there. That's for another program. But anyway, people can get off on all kinds of things and teach people. You see all the books too that have been written on the subject of the Book of Enoch and the Nephilim and the angels. Volumes. I don't know where they get all this information from, but you know, it's not necessary. And the gospel is simple, but they try to make it difficult. And they try to make it otherworldly. Very, very sad. But let's listen to Isaiah 47.
Chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke, and thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee.
Amen to that. Let me tell you, that is the truth. None shall save thee from thine enchantments and thy sorceries. God help these people. And here's Jimmy Evans. This is really crazy.
So let me talk about this from an astronomical perspective. Now, in Job 38, God is coming to Job, and he's talking to Job. And he talks to Job about Pleiades, Orion, and he says, did you establish the Maseroth and its seasons? That means constellations. The word Maseroth, the 12 signs of the zodiac, come from God. They don't come from astrology. Astrology is a bad thing. Because astrology assigns some spiritual, ethereal spiritual force to the constellations. And if I'm a Libra, I am a Libra. If I'm a Libra, then everything in my life is controlled, and that's
He's
nonsense.
A Libra.
Right? My life is controlled by God.
Yes.
But the 12 constellations are a picture of salvation. I know, Joni, you did a program with Marilyn Hickey.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn Hickey was talking about this. It's called the Masoret. The Jewish rabbis believe in the Masoret.
Yeah.
And they believe it is a story of God. They don't understand the New Testament aspect of it. But the Masoret, the constellations, begin with Virgo, the constellation Virgo. They end with Leo. It begins with a virgin. It ends with a lion. Okay. So this woman,
wow,
in Revelation 12, it says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun. Well, Virgo always has the sun. That, see, the sun goes through the 12 constellations, each constellation once a year. The moon goes through each constellation once a month. The moon travels much more quickly. So when it says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun, that's telling you it's the fall of the year because the sun is in the constellation Virgo. She was clothed with the sun. The moon was at her feet. Okay, she had a garland of 12 stars on September the 23rd, which is a week from this coming Saturday. The constellation Virgo has the sun over her shoulder, literally clothed with the sun. The moon is at her feet, and the constellation Leo. Leo is outlined by 9 major stars, but next Saturday, Venus, Mercury, and Mars align with Leo to make 12 stars directly over the head of the Virgin. She will literally be crowned with 12 stars, and it says she was giving birth to a male child. Now, this is fascinating. So Jupiter is the king planet, and the Jews believe that Jupiter is the Messiah. In fact, the Bethlehem star that the Magi followed was probably a convergence of either Jupiter and Venus, which is the day star, the morning star, or Regulus, which is also royalty, which is a part of Leo. But it was a very bright star. But Jupiter, however you look at it, Jupiter is the king planet. Last November the 20th, the planet Jupiter entered into the womb area of Virgo and stayed there until September 9th, 4 days ago. 41 weeks, the exact gestation period of a human infant. So the Jupiter entered into the womb area of Virgo, went into retrograde, and just stayed. And what retrograde means is it appears as though it's standing still or not moving much when it actually is. It's just our perspective. So Jupiter goes into the womb area of Virgo, stays there for 41 weeks. It exited. She gave birth 4 days ago on September the 9th. Then it says there was a fiery red dragon there to devour the child. Okay, so I've been studying this for 3 months, and this seems it seems incredible. I want to encourage you to do something. So between Virgo's legs, the constellation Virgo's legs right now, there is a red, hideous-looking something there. So I'm a preacher. I'm talking to you, and you're saying, oh, this preacher's talking about the end times. Go on Google Sky. You'll see this now. Go on Google Sky. When you go on Google Sky, in the bottom left-hand corner, click Constellations. After you click Constellations, over on the right-hand side at the bottom, click Virgo, the constellation Virgo. Then go to the top right-hand corner and click Infrared, because it's infrared. And you will see there, between Virgo's legs, you're going to see it's blacked out. You're going to see a red, hideous-looking something there that you can only see part of. Because NASA has redacted. NASA has made Google redact whatever that is between Virgo's legs. But the actual picture of it you can see on a website called Skyview, which is NASA's website, that if you know the coordinates of this, you can type it in. It will show you the actual whatever it is. It is an eerie-looking red mass between Virgo's legs, where Jupiter is coming out.
Oh, dear. It's hard to believe. It's just hard to believe. I mean, this guy is a pastor, Pastor Jimmy Evans. He's on with Marcus and Joni Lamb. He's talking like a crazy person. And could you imagine having this guy for a pastor? But yet he's got a big church. And the people aren't running out the door, which I think they should. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But yet, these networks, like Daystar, they're thriving. But, of course, the only reason they thrive, they would probably still thrive on selling the airtime because they make tens of millions of dollars a year just selling their airtime on their satellite network. But they do these telethons, these begathons, and they promise people the world, salvation for their children, deliverance from drugs, financial deliverance, debt cancellation. They promise them all kinds of things when they're doing these telethons, and they have three children, the Lambs do, and they're all married now, and the children and their spouses all participate. That is a sad legacy to leave behind. You would think that any parent, and thank God for my parents because they taught me right from wrong, and I think my mother would have been very ashamed of me had I acted like that. And as a Christian minister to behave the way the Lambs do, and now their children are behaving the same way. It's so sad. It's so sad. You would think that maybe one of these kids, they have two girls and a boy, but you would think that one of these kids might say, stand up for Jesus and say, even though my parents bought me a big house and I'm making a very lucrative salary here, that I could say to my parents, no, this is wrong and I'm not going to do it, no matter how much money you pay me. But no, they just go along with it. And it's very, very sad. But I can't imagine anybody, any good parent, teaching their children to rip people off in the name of Jesus. It's very, very sad. But then you wind up crazy like this and have somebody like Jimmy Evans coming on and talking about Virgo and Virgo giving birth to Saturn. Oh, you can't make it up. You just can't make it up. But anyway, here's Troy Brewer. And this is another so-called prophet that he's been on with Joni Lamb too.
Because in the Bible, it begins with the promise of the seed of the woman, and it ends with, and that's Genesis chapter 3, the very first messianic promise, and the last one is Genesis chapter 22, which is Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah, coming back.
Nice.
And I'm like, I bet anything, it begins in Virgo and ends in Leo. Okay.
Two constellations.
Yes. One represents a virgin woman, right, who has a seed in her, which is absolutely impossible, right?
So right.
A messianic promise. And then I believe it's going to end with Leo, but I got to check it out. So we begin to do a huge study on it, and of course it does. But know this. The ancient Sphinx, you know the Sphinx?
Okay. By the pyramids.
Yes.
Egypt.
Leanna and I traveled to Egypt. We went there. We did this huge study on it. And the Great Pyramid is actually an astrological structure. It tells when the winter solstice begins and when the summer solstice begins. It's an astrological structure. What is out in front of it is this thing that's supposed to be guarding it. It has the head of a woman and the body of a lion. The head means where it starts, like the head of the year. That's a Middle Eastern term for the beginning. Mm-hmm. The head of a woman and the body of a lion. So it goes all the way back even before the Egyptians. They knew exactly where the story begins and where it ends.
Right.
And know this, the word Sphinx means to unite or to join together. It's where you connect the circle.
How fascinating.
It's crazy cool.
Who would have known? And that even through a pagan culture,
yes,
the Lord is speaking.
Yes, that's exactly right, because
oh,
the earth
yes
was still new then, and the heavens declare the glory of God.
Okay.
So here we go. It begins with Virgo the Virgin, the promise that, okay, there is a problem within humanity, but I will become human. Okay, the answer is going to come in the midst of humanity. And then from Virgo the Virgin, it moves into Libra. Now, what does Libra tell us? It's the two scales. It says this Messiah is not just going to be a human Messiah. It's not just God going to become human. He's actually going to be a redeemer, Okay, he's going to bring redemption.
The balance of scales.
The balance of scales. And then what's the next sign up? It's Scorpio. What does that mean? It means he's going to take on death. He's going to go to war with death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory, right? Man, I love that. And then what happens after that? Well, see, whenever we study the names of all of the stars that are involved, when we look at how far away the light years are, whenever we look at the actual pictures, we discover that this redeeming Messiah is actually going to lay down his life. But Sagittarius says he rises again and he conquers death.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't read that anywhere in Scripture. Did you? I don't think so. Oh, I didn't think that Sagittarius was telling me about Jesus rising in death, you know. And Troy Brewer. Here's part two, Troy Brewer.
So now he's on a horse. He's on a horse of victory. He is actually targeting the heart of the scorpion, which is a star that's called Antares.
Wow.
Okay? And then what's up after that? This very strange sign in the heaven that's called Capricorn. What is it? The first part of it is a sacrifice, and out of the sacrifice is a people or a fish is coming out of it, a living fish, right? And we know that we are the fish that are caught within a net. Then what happens after that? Aquarius, the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. Right?
This is a
the water bearer. Okay, and then what's after that? Pisces, what is that? The people will multiply and they will bless the earth. That's multitude of fish, right? After that is Aries. His kingdom will come and his will be done. This is the church age. But you know what happens after Aries? Jesus comes back. Taurus the bull, on the unstoppable momentum of Jesus himself comes back. And then after that is Gemini. When we see him, we shall be like him. The twins. His holiness is our holiness. His righteousness is our righteousness. After that is Cancer the crab. And what is that? We are the possession of the Lord. And he holds us fast in his hands. And he will never, ever, ever let us go. And then it ends with Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Jesus himself ruling and reigning. That story that has been revealed throughout the Bible, 1,600 years that it took to write the Bible, was in the heavens for everybody to see all the time.
For every tribe, tongue, people, nation. You don't have...
Oh, dear. Yes, too much learning has made thee mad, for sure. And we all remember, or most of us remember anyway, D. James Kennedy. He was quite a famous preacher. He had a big church there in Coral Gables, Florida. It's probably still there. And anyway, he too was teaching this. And here's some of what he had to say about it.
12 major signs, and then there are the 36 decans or minor signs that are connected with each of these houses. So let's begin with the first house, which is Virgo. In this first book of the 12 books of the zodiac. And you'll notice that in all of this, what we have is a great celestial preaching of the gospel. We have, first of all, the woman promised in the proto-evangelium, the seed of the woman who is going to destroy the seed of the serpent. We have Virgo, the virgin woman, holding the branch and the seeds in her hand. We find next to her is Coma, the desired one, the desire of all nations who shall come, who is now an infant being nourished in her lap. And thirdly, we see him grown to manhood, a very unusual man, however, one with two natures, one who is the great hunter, teacher, physician, and one who gives his life voluntarily and conveys his immortality to others. One who is the great high priest slaying the victim over the southern cross. And finally, we see him also full grown, coming mightily and in power and rapidly as Bootes, the coming one, the ruler, the governor, the harvester of the earth, coming in judgment to harvest the world with a sickle in his hand. So we see in this first volume a preview or overview of the entire message of the scripture, even as in Genesis, we have an overview of the whole message of salvation. So also we have in this first book of the heavenly proclamation of the gospel, a picture of Christ in his prophesied coming as the seed of the Virgin, in his birth and nativity, in his suffering and priesthood, and finally in his coming in glory and judgment as the harvester of the earth. The glorious proclamation of the birth, sufferings, and future glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, I hope that as you go out and look at the starry skies above, you will be impressed anew and afresh. And as we proceed with this series, you will become amazed at the God who hath writ on high these things for all the world to see. For surely his voice hath gone unto the ends of the earth, and the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are plainly seen, as God has placed these constellations, this Nazareth, which he brings forth with his own hand in its season, pictures of the great salvation which he has wrought in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, dear. What can I say? And here's the last audio here from D. James Kennedy.
100 and some years ago, a skeptic by the name of Volney wrote a famous work entitled Volney's Ruins. He, along with Dupuy and Bailey and a number of French skeptics, gathered together a collection of all of the various ancient mythologies of the various peoples of the world and demonstrated that these showed a remarkable and astounding correspondence to the teachings concerning Christ and his salvation. Now, they said, since these mythologies, which often involved interpretations of the constellations of the zodiac, since these very clearly long antedated the revelation and coming of Christ into the world, it was obvious to them that Christianity was nothing more than a borrowing from pagan mythology, dressing it up in Hebrew dress and pawning it off on a credulous world. Thus, many were led to a deeper examination of this and to some rather remarkable findings. One of those conclusions was the fact that none of these skeptics were able to tell whence came these ancient mythologies, and particularly this understanding of the signs of the zodiac, the constellations of the sky, which seem to be the same whether we go to Egyptian or Greek or Roman or Persian, Arabic, whatever source we go to, Indian or Chinese, the same signs were held throughout the world. Where did they come from? Well, these scholars discovered that the fact is that we cannot ascertain their antiquity, that the farther back we go, they're still there, and they're always there, and the earliest recorders of them are recording something which happened prior to their time. This, by the way, can be ascertained because of something which is known as the precession of the equinoxes, the fact that the stars change and shift in the sky over the centuries. It enables astronomers to know when a person is describing what is happening in the sky. And the earliest recorders of this are describing something that happened prior to their day. And therefore, it is seen that from the very earliest days of mankind, these stars and these signs have been known. Now, it's interesting, again, that the signs bear little or no resemblance to the stars in the heaven. That is, if 100 people were to go out and name the constellations, they would not come up with the pictures that have been given to them and have been held by people all over the world. Where did they come from? Well, the Arabic tradition is that they came from Seth and from Enoch. This is the same tradition that the Greeks have, only the Greeks knew Enoch, called him Atlas. This is the same tradition of the Egyptians, only they knew Enoch as Hermes. But all of these go back to the grandson of Adam and say that Enoch and his father Seth were the founders of this ancient understanding of the heavens.
I guess so.
Now, therefore, what we see is the fact that God has given from the very beginning a story of his salvation from which all ancient mythologies and ancient traditions have come, and that they are describing the salvation which would be wrought by Christ, which was given by God to Adam in the Garden of Eden, which is, as we were told before, called the Proto-Evangelium, or the first evangel, the first gospel, which was that the seed of the woman would destroy the seed of the serpent. And this was the very beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. So we see that the efforts of the skeptics to try to make Christianity into something which is simply borrowed from paganism has failed.
Dear. Oh, well. So many people seem to have jumped on that bandwagon. And it was awful, really. But they're still talking about it. It's still being talked about. And like I said, if you wanted to look at this book, the whole book is there by Francis Rolleston, 257 pages of the Maseroth. And they're basically getting everything they're saying from this book, who then E.W. Bollinger wrote his book, and then, of course, Marilyn Hickey wrote her book. But there's been other people that have written about this, and it's a deception. I just can't see it at all. I don't see Jesus and Scorpio and Leo, and the funny part is too that you hear Joni Lamb's daughter. I don't know if she said she was a Pisces or whatever. And then was it Jimmy Evans that said he was a Leo or? Oh, dear. These are supposed to be Bible teachers, but they're not teaching the word of God, because I don't see anything in the Bible about Aries or Leo or Jesus being Sagittarius or Jesus being Leo the lion. I don't see any of that in scripture. And it's extra biblical. It's not being taken from scripture. So avoid it. Stay away from it. Only if you're doing research and you like history and you like to compare truth with error, then look into it. But otherwise, stay away from it. It just is a distraction. Yes, it's a distraction from the real gospel of Jesus Christ. And it leads people astray. You see people going off on these tangents with things that don't, it has nothing to do with salvation. And it has nothing to do with sound doctrine. And that's what we should strive for, is sound doctrine. But I wanted to tell you that for the next 4 days, if you go on Amazon and if you have Kindle, or you can download a free Kindle reader and you can put it into your search if you don't have a Kindle. But my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? It's available for free to read for the next 4 days. And you can get that on Amazon. So if you wanted to read it, it's there. I'm going to be updating it in the next few months and rewriting some of the chapters. But because, of course, the people that we talk about in the book, and we talk about Fred Price and Kenneth Copeland and Mike Murdoch and Hagen and Marilyn Hickey and Paula White and Benny Hinn. And there's things that have happened since I wrote the book. I wrote the book 4 years ago, so, or 5 years ago. And so I need to update it and get that out there. But anyway, that's there for you. So thanks everybody in the chat room, everybody that stopped by today, and all my listeners around the world. Big shout out to our listeners in England, the United Kingdom, and South Africa, Australia, Canada, and all our listeners here in the United States, and all my friends out there. Thank you for all your help. I appreciated it. Appreciate it so very much. And don't forget the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He is the Lord and he is the Savior. He's the only one that can help us through these times we're going through. We've been through a terrible pandemic. Anyway, we're back. We closed the show. We lost our connection there momentarily, but don't forget the most important thing is to accept Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. He will. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to give us a brand new life. He promised us eternal life, and he promised us a home in heaven. And he promised to give us peace and joy in the midst of a storm. And I can testify to that. In 1981, I gave my life to Jesus, and I've never regretted it. I'm thankful for his mercy and his grace every day. And you too can have that same peace and that same joy. Ask him to come into your life today. He is a Savior, and he loves you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.